high energy podcast coming at you today
from,
from the east side of Nashville in Mount Juliet. I'm John. This is Johnny.
Yes.
And we're here on Talk About That.
Oh, my gosh, John. We are bringing it today.
I say high energy because
we... You're a little haggard.
My family went down with the pestilence this week.
The plague.
It hit us like a... I mean, it's been... And I'll be brief, and I don't want
to...
I don't want to go into great... Yeah, I don't want to be, like, gruesome or just, you know, graphic, if you will. But never in 20 years, almost, well, 19 years of marriage this year, never have my wife and I both been hit with some sort of stomach thing at the same time. Like, I was on, I don't know, man, you know, I go on, like, years of vomit streak. Like, man, I could go a long time without
vomit. Vomit-free streak. You don't want to vomit streak.
Well, they call it a vomit streak. Didn't they say that on Seinfeld? Was it a vomit streak?
But I thought it was a no vomit streak. A vomit streak is like, hey, I'll throw up every day for...
Someone call a doctor. No, I was, I don't know, man, like... She started to feel bad, and I was like, "Hey, I want to go sleep in another bedroom." You know, I could tell she was getting sick, you know. And we had a our volleyball coach, Sadie's volleyball coach.
I'm not your wife's volleyball team.
Yeah, I know she had something, and so it's possible. And I was like, "I'm gonna go." And then I was literally like pulling the sheets back on the spare bed and started to feel myself rumble. I was like, "You know what? We might as well just dig in. This is about to happen."
So you just went back to the bed with your wife?
I did.
Because you're like, we're both sick. May as well
contaminate one room.
It's like a chickenpox party.
Oh my gosh!
Do you ever hear about those?
Oh yeah. I think my mom.
People don't really do that for real.
I think my parents might have done that. Like, just let them all have it. I don't know. Mom, it's sorry.
Right?
I'm so mean to my mom. She's always like, I didn't do that.
No, but a lot of moms did it. A lot of moms did that.
Well, because they were all going to get it anyway.
Yeah.
You might as well have it together, and then they can entertain each other. So, yeah, it was bad, bro.
That's no good. Well, that's the thing, too. When you're both sick at once, we talked about roles in a marriage before and roles in a family.
Right.
And... that's when it really throws you for a loop. Like, if, because I'm a bad patient, men are usually the worst patients.
Right.
Because there's something in a woman, it's like the caregiving thing takes over. So it's like, if she's sick, you're like, well, don't give it to me. But if you're sick, it's like, baby, I can't. Help me.
Hold me. Yeah.
Take my socks off. Like, it's just, you can't even.
I can't reach.
Well, I'm a baby.
Well, my wife is an actual nurse, too.
Right.
You know? And so, yeah, we both just, she doesn't sleep very well anyway.
Yeah.
So we both just hit a wall. It was like every 2 hours, just like, wow.
Yeah.
And again, not to be too graphic, but I don't throw up quietly into that still night. It just sounds like an expression of some sort.
Don't
throw up quietly.
Don't throw quietly into that good night.
But like, you know, some people, it's just, you know,
up quietly?
I don't know, man, but I sound like someone's dying. Like, it's a full
That's
voice.
That's what everybody...
You know, and so...
Do you shout Europe at the sink? Is that what...
Europe!
Europe! You pray to the porcelain god O'Rourke.
So again, like, I was...
O'Rourke! Okay.
It was bad. So it was in the bathroom. We had trash cans in the bedroom. And I guess I was so loud that it made my wife get nauseous. And my mom walks in the room to check on us right as my wife's in the floor.
Yeah.
And she can hear, my mom can hear me in the bathroom, like, just going at
it. So let's talk about Laura's tick when she gets nauseous, because it makes me laugh ever since I've known you guys.
That's right.
When she gets nauseous, she doesn't open her mouth like a lot of people and go do the Jim Carrey, she doesn't do that. She closes her mouth tightly and sticks her tongue out like a lizard.
It's like a lizard tongue.
Does she still do that?
Yes.
That's fascinating.
I haven't seen her do it in a long time, so I'm assuming she does it.
Because
I'm
start talking about something gross on a road trip with the band, she'd be like, don't do it.
She's
do
like,
what
is that, a gag?
Is she one of those lizard people?
If you're going to gag like a real person.
Yeah, that's a real conspiracy theory. Have you heard this about lizard people?
Gagging like a lizard is a conspiracy?
No, people being lizards with like human skin on. Like people high in power.
Are you
like,
talking about the plot line of V, the final
yes,
battle?
Yes, basically. But there's people that really believe it, that like George Bush was a lizard person, Obama was a lizard person.
Dude, and you're like making...
I'm telling you, YouTube videos, it's one of the number one YouTube video kind of things of conspiracies is like... They'll freeze frame it where you can see like the eyes turn into slits and stuff. Like they catch Obama when like a flash goes off, like his eye, and they'll be like, this proves definitively Obama's a lizard. And Trump, they say, is normal, which is, no, I'm just kidding. They don't think they think Trump. He looks like his head could just pop off like a mask already. You know what I'm saying? Does. He looks like a Scooby-Doo villain. Scooby-Doo.
I was about to say the same thing. It's a Scooby-Doo villain. Like, it was Mr. Bob the whole time. Yeah. I don't know, Mr. Bob was a huge character.
Well, are you good at improv? Because it shows.
Let me tell you something,
really,
bro.
Good.
I'm sharp as a marble.
Hi, I'm Mr. Bob.
You know, remind me of Michael Scott doing the improv classes.
I'm not. You know what's funny is people think, I think I'm quicker on my feet in a live setting than I used to be, but I used to just kind of like, I would want to just do my jokes and get out of there. And if something would happen in the room, I'd still freeze up. But now I still feel like it's, I can react in the room if something happens.
Yeah,
if somebody
often
drops a glass, or if somebody makes a noise, or if somebody's got a weird laugh, I can do it, and I can still, you know, get back to my spot in my show. But sometimes you get great stuff handed to you, but every now and again it's just super weird. And I used to just be so afraid of it. But I did have a moment in my show back in the day where I had this song about farming. It was a parody song. I did parody songs a lot in the early days, and I had this song called "Too Late to Fertilize." It was from "Too Late to Apologize," by One Republic. So, and I for a couple times in the show, I would close the show with it, and I would say, like, I want to do a song. I just want to make up a song on the fly here. Can anybody just shout out jobs, any jobs? They're like, blah, 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 blah. And I'd be like, I heard farming, and then I would just go into it like it was made. I mean, it was kind of obvious that it was prepared, but it's just, it was always funny to me. Like, I heard farming. Everybody's looking at each other like,
and
nobody
now I have
said
this
farming.
Now I have this track prepared. Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody said farming.
That's funny. That's funny. I will say this, that the other night reminded me of Panama. Like,
How sick you were.
I thought of the only time in my life I've been this sick was when Johnny W. and I, like, it was some, I don't know, South American parasite took over our bodies in Panama on a mountain with no running water, electricity. We were sleeping in tents, bathing in a river. I don't know why we got sick. Yeah. In purifying our own water, which was the problem.
Yeah.
And whoever had that job, it didn't work out.
No.
And, dude, we went down hard.
We did. That's the sickest I've been in a long time.
Yeah.
And I may have told this story in an early podcast, but I still to this day have effects from it because do you remember they brought these were Guaymi Indians living in this on this mountaintop, right? So they came after like day three of me being down for the count. I couldn't do anything. They had a Coke machine. Somebody brought me a Coke. I was like, thank God. Like, you need to get
food. South American Cokes are great.
Yeah, because it was real sugar and the real deal. And so they were like, and it probably still had cocaine in it. I don't know. From the old days. It's like, this feels real tingly.
I like this.
I do. I see Jesus. Anyway, so they bring me this half coconut looking gourd thing. It was not a coconut. It was like a gourd. And inside of it is some concoction they've made with steamed white rice.
Oh, my gosh.
And some juice in it.
It was white rice. It was the water from the boil off.
They put some seasoning in it, too. And they said, this will soak up all the toxins.
Oh, yeah.
Just force it down. And they were watching, like three or four of them had come over to watch me partake of it. So it was like, if I reject it, it's like, hey, we just came here.
They brought it to me too.
We just came here to build a school for you. We don't want your dumb rice medicine.
Right.
So I had to do it. And I forced this. And to this day, I can't eat steamed rice. I feel the little floaty white rice in the back of my throat.
Gosh.
It's like, if they go, we don't have anything but white rice, like, I'll be like, I just won't have that dish then.
You know what the name of that was in Spanish? I don't know what it was, but it translates into parasite food. Like, whatever
it was,
fed the parasite. It was like, this is what I love. Give me more. Because I remember feeling so much worse. Like, I didn't think it was possible to feel worse than when we drank that liquid.
When I was kind of delusional.
It was warm, too.
It wasn't. Mm-hmm. And it was already 100 degrees. Or
Laura here right now, she'd be sticking her tongue out.
She would be doing her Laura Lizard thing. Oh, my God. Laura's a lizard person.
Oh, my gosh.
Your wife is part of the Illuminati.
Everything I'm thinking to say is inappropriate, so I can't. I'm just going to leave it all alone. Anyway.
Well, all I'm saying is that affected me, and that's the sickest I've ever been. There's a picture somewhere of me heaving
over
the fence
post. I took that picture.
Yeah.
I took that picture of you. It was like, brutal. You know what? We've been in this 4 or 5 days now. I might as well start photographing this.
Have some fun.
And, I think it was that bad. It felt that bad for the night.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So I've relived it once now. It was like, oh, wow. This is a.
Well,
And then, you know, we're okay now, though. Yeah. Although the problem is the way it cycles to the household. So Laura and I got it the first night. Yeah. Like, Jesus, please don't let Sadie get it. Please don't let Sadie get it. Next night, Sadie gets it. And it's going into the night again. So two nights of no sleep. We put her in our bedroom with us so we could get her near to the bathroom. Mm. Oh, my gosh. And, of course, Laura was up and down. I did fall asleep for a while. I felt awful. Laura was up and down all night. And so then my mom had been taking care of Sadie for us while we were sick.
Right.
Oh, God, please don't let my mom get it. And guess what? So then she – so it's like we're on day three or four of it just cycling through. So I guess it's my turn again.
If this were prosperity gospel time, I would say that you don't have enough faith. Your prayers.
I thought you were going to say we had a 100-fold return. 300-fold return. Come on. And pressed down, shaking together. Run, Lord. Oh, sorry, too far. Lord. Oh, I may have to cut that out.
No, it's great. But yeah, no, I'm sorry that that's happening, and hopefully that everybody will feel better real soon, real soon. My worst fear is being sick on the road, and we talked about it before, yeah. But I have been sick on a trip before, and you just have to go to like a walk-in clinic and say, give me a shot, and you have to kind of talk them into it. They're like, well, let me get you this 10 days if you're like, I need to feel better
right now.
Within the next couple of hours before I get on this plane. And every now and again, you can be like, somebody will be like, well, we can do it, and they give you the steroid shot, and you're immediately like hyper and sick now.
Right.
But you feel hyper aware of things and
I ask for shots. I'm always like, look, whatever you have, can I get it in shot form? And can you give me as many of them as possible?
They're like, no, we thought you could feel better in 10 days.
Yeah.
Once we invented the shot, why not give people I'm sure there's a medical person listening going, no, that's not how it works.
But you're right.
But give me the pills and the shot.
Here, take this high-powered pill that's going to make your stomach hurt a little bit in addition to whatever it is you're feeling. Yes. Like, why don't you just go ahead and just give me the shot? I don't mind the pain. I don't mind a little bit of soreness. Just give it to me.
Yeah.
I don't know. Which is crazy because I was terrified of shots growing up.
Have you ever had them give you the shot, though, and you feel the medicine just kind of puddling in the area where they gave you the shot?
Oh,
it didn't ever really – you're like, now I just have a little – I have a little Quado pouch, like a little friend here on my backside that just is full of the medicine. Like, well, I feel better. Like, that's not helping anybody. It has to slowly absorb.
Yeah.
That's
Johnny,
not
you
cool.
need to see a different doctor. You're not doing it right. They're bringing in a janitor or something.
They are.
Hey, give him a shot.
He's like, my name is Dr. Bob. Like, I thought you were Mr. Bob. No, I went to medical school. I just finished.
Oh, that's very funny. Well, we call that a callback.
Okay,
officially.
Sure.
You brought it around.
What is it? Explain it again.
Callback, Johnny.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
I'm a silver award-winning humorist.
Oh, that's right. Don't throw that in my face again. Oh, my goodness. My album went zinc, so we're very excited.
Hey, I did find out. I can't say who.
Yeah?
I can't say what.
Well, this is...
I know, but I can just... This is just a total teaser.
It's a total tease.
Sadie and I were working on homework today, and so this is a foreshadowing. We learned about that today. She learned about that today. I already knew.
What context was foreshadowing in her homework? Like Bible homework?
No, in English, bro.
But I'm okay. So, like English, like literature.
Just English and the way stories work. Yes, it was.
Yeah, but that's literature then.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't call.
Talk about just foreshadowing in the English language. Like, oh, people say foreshadowing all the time. Like, no,
no, I'm saying it wasn't like though. When you say literature, it wasn't like she was reading something I would consider to be literature. Like, it's
right.
just stories.
But just how,
it wasn't like Shakespeare.
Right.
I mean, the story she's reading was not literature, but. Yeah. At any rate, unfortunately.
I just thought it might have been a Bible, because she goes to a Christian school, right? I thought it might have been a Bible thing, because you always hear, the first time I ever heard about foreshadowing was in, like, when you hear an Old Testament story, and it's like, foreshadowing Jesus' sacrifice. Like,
really?
That's yeah, like Abraham and Isaac, all of that. Like, you know, there's going to be a sacrifice, and so it's foreshadowing.
You went to a super Christian school.
It was. It was super duper.
Like, none of these literary devices existed. I do believe that Hebrew literary devices are actually obviously predecessors to English just by the nature of the timeline. So I understand
that.
Except
they go right to left, right?
Well, there you go.
Is that correct?
Except for that. And I'm not sure. I wonder if a Hebrew timeline goes right to left.
Do you think it... I wonder why they go right to left.
I don't know, but that just means we're doing it wrong because they were first.
It's interesting, right?
It's very,
that's great for a left-handed person if you're writing Hebrew, because as a left-handed person, that's the number one issue, is as you write something,
oh, my wife,
you're blurring it with your own hand.
Listen, my
child, you get to the line, it's like,
my child is lefty and it's horrible. She can't do a good job of writing at the size that helps her estimate how long it is. In theory, she should be able to see.
I was terrible at that, too.
But she's covering the letters with her hands. So, yes, she's not sure, you know, where she is in anyway.
She used to use a smaller font.
Right, so I tell her, hey, write smaller or, you know, think about it. Like today, like, she put a dash and just an R on the next line. I was like, you can't do that.
That's not.
You got a dash between the syllables. You know that. Like, it was just like, you know what? I'm out of room. I'm just going to put an R, period. I was like, what are you doing? You know, and she's been sick. I feel bad, but my teacher came out. I was like, you can't do that. So there may or may not have been tears, and she cried a little bit too. But the foreshadowing thing is this.
Yes.
Is that I may get to be a guest on one of my favorite podcasts.
You can't talk about it, though.
I can't.
You've already jinxed it now.
I can't. And I'm really disappointed.
You believe in jinxes?
No, I don't. Yeah, okay. I don't. I think you would...
Something's supposed to happen. It's supposed to happen.
Well, I mean, I entrust the Lord.
What about jinx?
All
like we say things at the same time, and then you owe me a Coke. You believe in that jinx?
Oh, absolutely. That's a law of the universe.
Law, yeah.
Yeah. But no, I don't think, here's the deal. I'm one of those, like, I don't count chickens,
right?
You know, before they hatch. I'm not going to go, like, say, no, I definitely got it. Not because it will cause it to change, just because, right, I think it's unwise. But I also, so I do trouble with hope. Like, I have trouble hoping. Like,
yeah,
I do. Right. I said I do trouble with hope. Let me back up and restate. I do have trouble with hope. Yeah. Or I have trouble hoping.
Where did the chinx thing come from, do you think, about, like, saying things at the same time?
Is it bad luck
to repeat things at the same time as somebody else? You say jinx.
Is it Yiddish?
To keep it from being bad luck?
I don't know where the word comes from. Like,
what if
etymology?
It is biblical? What if that happened in the Bible and they're like, jinx, you know, give me some manna. I don't know what they would.
I think, I don't know which is more alarming, that you're asking the question or that you don't already know the answer after having read the Bible.
No, I don't.
Johnny.
No, I'm just saying, like.
Let's go do a word search on jinx right now.
In the Bible.
I can already tell you the answer and you should know, friend. Oh my goodness!
You're saying it's witchcraft, and I've been
partaking in divination
this whole time.
I don't know. I mean, just with that, who knows how many other areas? But
I don't know
if I'll make it on the podcast or not. But here's what I know: I don't live negatively.
Wait a minute! You have a favorite podcast other than this one? That's hurtful.
No, it's second place.
Second place.
Okay. It's a very topic specific podcast.
Okay,
I could say that.
All right.
Ours is not topic specific. Ours, if you're listening today, you already know this, surely, but
what's the topic, would you say, John?
We began our podcast under the auspice, under the premise, within the paradigm.
Wouldn't it be auspices?
Well, I mean, I said one auspice.
There's only one.
Well, I mean, it's multi-topicked. So what I'm saying is
one auspice. Is there such a thing as one auspice?
You can have one auspice. You can make anything singular, can't you?
I don't think so.
You're like a ventriloquist right there.
I don't think you're right.
What are they going to hear me right now?
Get out of here with that. That ain't right.
You're like Elvis Tranquillism.
What? Use your words, buddy.
That's like Elvis in a tranquil state doing a puppet. You know what I'm saying?
Elvis.
Ventriloquism.
Ventriloquism? You can't say ventriloquism.
I can't say ventriloquism.
Okay, that's fine.
Anywho. Our topic paradigm is that we're two friends.
Right.
Been friends for a long time, over 20 years.
Too long.
And we sit across the table all the time, and we have conversations just like this. And so we're going to do that. And we have conversations that have fun, and they usually have some substance as well. And we're going to just be friends together. We're going to invite people to listen and maybe to participate. Like, that's ours. So the other one that I may go on is a very, like, no, it's about this thing.
Right.
And he interviews lots of people.
Marriage and sexuality.
It's not about that. although we should tell the listeners.
Yes.
So, I haven't signed anything yet, so I hope if it falls through, I guess. But Laura and I got invited to come back and do the marriage conference in Wisconsin in 2020.
With this ring.
It's called With This Ring. Like, I thought you meant like we're going with this ring. Like Johnny's holding a ring right now. With this ring.
To rule them
all.
You
will do this conference.
You'll do what I say because I got the ring.
Yeah. And but the entertainment, you know who they told me the entertainment was going to be on Friday night? Because we do like all day Saturday and like Sunday morning. You know who the entertainment's going to be?
Who?
Johnny W.
We get to do it together, bunny.
Bro. And you haven't said yes yet, though.
No. I got to make sure everything, the numbers work.
Yeah.
You know how it is.
I'm going to be getting a lesser paycheck out of this.
No, I don't think so. I think it's going to work out great.
We wanted to pay you what we pay.
Let's be honest. Laura's getting the check.
You know what they told me?
What?
They said that. Well, people really enjoyed having us last time, and the guy said, but let's be honest, we all know that was Laura.
Well, she was a big hit, right?
I said, you're exactly right. She's doing like a whole, at least one whole main session this time, because we kind of tag-teamed some things, and we still will do that. But I was like, oh, man, let her go. And she doesn't get it. Like, if she was here right now, she'd be like, I don't think I did anything.
But she thought well enough about what she said to say it, so I don't buy that she's got confidence issues.
Well,
I think Laura's a pretty confident person.
Not in that, though, as much as she should be. Like, I had to push her last time to go do it. And here's the deal. We split men and women for a session, and the women were in this, like, convention center, and the women were on the other side of the wall. So probably like 100 women with Laura on the other side. So I was in there talking to the dudes about what dudes talk about. And I don't know what Laura was saying on the other side of that wall, but it sounded like Def Comedy Jam. Like, she had her own Netflix
special. They're running around high-fiving.
They were freaking out, screaming, laughing. It was like, oh, my gosh. I was like, what did you do?
Yeah.
She's like, I don't know. I just took questions.
She did the lizard face, let's be honest.
She just hit an hour solid of that.
No, I think Laura's great. I can imagine her being a huge hit. She should be more confident.
I'm very, very proud. And I tell her she should give herself more. And I'm glad she's. I don't want to be like bragging or anything, but I think she's spectacular. I mean, she's unbelievable.
Well, we're gonna if we do this, then I'll bring Curry, and then we'll be like a big couples.
Yeah, it's
thing.
Gonna be
we'll,
fun, bro.
Gosh,
it's gonna be fun.
Have we ever done an event like that together? The band days, no, I don't think so.
We were trying to think, since you've done comedy, have we done an event that was outside of this church that I was speaking and you were doing comedy? I doubt it. I mean, I don't speak out that much, you know what I'm saying? Like, I speak out. I don't leave here, you know, to go. Because most of the time I'm here speaking. So
right.
Some of us care about our local church, Johnny.
Right. And meanwhile, I'm just going
making a living
hither and thither. I feel like I'm Johnny Appleseed, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I just want to spread it around.
Did you ever think about that being your comedy name? Because that would have been horrible.
Johnny Appleseed.
I'm just here to spread. That would have been so.
Spread joy. I got a little pouch, and joy is on the pouch.
How many times do you get introduced at events where people open with a, let's just laugh?
Oh, gosh. When they want to pray.
Just, yeah.
Lord, you said in your word that laughter is like a medicine. Let it be a healing balm, Lord.
The balm.
We know we've all gone through. Lord, Trevor himself, who's recently paralyzed in that accident, just his family, Lord. And we just, so when they want to pray, I usually say, can we pray after? Like,
oh, yeah, we want to pray about that.
Yeah, what happens is if they pray first, then I come out with my dumb jokes and look like I'm peeing all over the anointing.
Right.
Like, I'm the guy that gets to, like, be the dumb guy. You know, it's dumb. I don't. So I'm like, don't make.
You
me
don't
the,
want to make light of those things because you're a serious. You're a guy who thinks of those things and cares about people.
Yes, I want to care, but it's just there's a timing issue. But people feel like if I'm going to have something in my pulpit, as in essence, because I'm in a church a lot, they're like, I have to set the stage for these certain people who are going to be like, well, this is going to be a weird left turn. So they feel like they have to go really heavy.
Yeah.
Or it doesn't work, and I'm like, no.
No. So I'm going to do that, though, when we're out there together. We're like, guys, I want to bring up someone right now who's a close friend. Our hearts are so drawn to what he has to say, you know, something.
And just, Lord, let us laugh freely. Just, even if it's not funny, Lord, you just draw it out of us.
That's your favorite.
Well, the worst, there's two horrible kinds of intros, okay? The second worst is when somebody says, I had this one happen. I may have talked about it before where some guy had a chip on his shoulder. I was at a camp, to a late night thing at a camp, and he goes, you funny? I was warming, checking it, doing sound check. I go, oh, this guy's going to be a problem. He was like the camp caretaker. It was one of those guys where you could tell he's used to being the funny guy around camp, and he was mad they brought in a comedian.
Yeah.
So he was like, you funny? I go, well, I guess we'll find out together. And he's like, huh? And so then I found out he was going to introduce me. So then I gave him my intro to read. He gets up, doesn't say it. He goes, well, it's time for late night. I want to bring up this guy. I don't know who he is. I hope he's funny. Cost a lot of money. Johnny, come on.
Wow.
That's only the second worst kind of intro. I remember that one. It was bad.
So when something like that happens, do you let the people who hired you know, like, hey, that wasn't cool? Or do you
I made fun of that guy for 5 solid minutes to open the show. So he paid dearly because he came and sat in the front row.
Punishment
after that.
Crime.
Yeah. Mm. So I let him have it.
Did they laugh?
Yeah, they laughed at him. Okay. And it was, he was utterly vanquished.
Do you remember what you said?
No, but, well, one thing I do is I do a thing about bald, like people who are shave their head and they have like neck fat.
Yes.
And then I do a joke about, well, I may not have a six pack in the front, but at least I'll never have a pack of hot dogs in the back.
Right.
And then I pointed at that guy. I was like this guy. And then he kind of was covering the back of his head. So I could tell like he was a hot dog guy. He was clearly. So that was like all the kids were like, hot dogs. And I don't know whatever happened to the guy, but I'm sure he's fine. I think he wandered into the woods.
Oh, dear.
But anyway, that's only the second worst. The worst kind of intro that you can get, believe it or not, is, guys, I'm so excited. This guy, he's so funny. You were going to laugh harder than you ever laughed before.
Oh, yeah.
He's the funniest guy in the universe. Like, if they when they do that build, it's like, I can't follow this. Like, right. Don't do this.
You think you'd like Jimmy Fallon? Yeah. He ain't got nothing on this guy.
I've got a friend who, his name's Claiborne Cox, and he's one of my favorite comedians. And he's kind of a character. So he has this really deadpan character that he comes up and just kind of stares the audience down for the first 10 seconds, and then he kind of gets into his jokes.
Yeah, yeah.
One of his jokes is he says, he has a character, I don't have a lot of money. My family cannot afford generic items at this groceries. We cannot even afford generic. We had to get generic butter, margarine. It's called, I can't believe it's not butter. Anyway, I butchered the joke, but anyway, so he has a character. So I introduced him one time at a show that I was on, and we've been doing comedy together we've done 5 or 6 shows together by this point. And I was hosting. So I said, guys, I'm so excited to bring this guy to you. Well, please welcome to the stage the wonderfully weird Claiborne Cox. And he did great. But then after the show, he goes, don't do that. And I was like, oh, and it made total sense.
Yeah, you telegraphed
I'm
it.
Setting them up.
Yeah.
To be that he's going to be weird, and it kills the energy that he's trying to create of, oh, here's a normal looking guy. Nope, he's weird. Like, yeah. Let him be the one to push it. And I'd only been doing comedy a couple of years when I did it. But
I've introduced you several times.
You have. You do a good job generally, but you kind of, you fawn over our personal friendship a little bit.
I try not to.
Guys.
God, I love this guy. You know?
It's like it's my make-a-wish by the time you're done. Guys. He barely made it here tonight.
He can't help it. I'm not trying to.
Introducing somebody is an art, and I'm not even great at it, but there's a way to do it. And you don't nail it. No, you do great.
You always ask me to do it, but I guess I may be the best of the choices.
You're the best of the choices here. Oh my gosh. So I was telling somebody the other day, I was on tour with Tim Hawkins, and we were talking about things that go wrong and how you kind of play it off and how you, the adrenaline kicks in of the embarrassment or whatever. I think Tim one time he walked into like a riser, like a big board hit him in the head, and he started gushing blood, and he got concussed. I think he had to go to the hospital. It was in the middle of the show. He went as far as he could, and he was like, I got to quit. And they like just kind of, they came and got him, and they took it back.
Wow.
This was like, you know, years ago, but for me, it was, we did a show together one time, and you were running my media in the back from the computer. So I was like, play this music on, play this music on whatever. And then when it starts the show, you know, turn that off and then start the clip, which was a song that I was doing. So I was opening with a song then. So they go, ladies and gentlemen, Johnny W, and nothing happened. And I was already ready to walk on stage. I had to run all the way to the back of the room. And because I realized it was my fault because I had muted the music.
Yeah,
I muted everything.
I was starting it and it wouldn't start.
Right, instead of muting like the iTunes.
I was like, I'm doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, we got to start over. So we started over. And by then, I've got like 20 seconds to get back to the stage before I have to start singing again. So it's like this long intro. So I take off running. Do you remember this?
No.
You were there, dude. I started running, and I got to the second step, tripped, and I fell. I mean, this was at Greg Canada's church, your brother-in-law. Boom. Both elbows. Boom.
Oh,
and the drum, I think some residual mics were on, so you just heard this, like, cacophonous, Chris Farley-sized, awful pratfall.
Was that a minor earthquake?
It was. And so what's funny about it is I jumped up, even though I just shattered my elbows. And I kind of saunter over to the mic and start singing, now out of breath, just in time. Just barely making it. And And the best part was, after the show, everybody was like, dude, that fall was unbelievable. They all thought it was planned. Because I just played it off. They were like, man, this is great. Oh, I was like, no, I need to get to a hospital.
I don't remember the fall. All I remember was me screwing up the show.
Yeah.
Because I was like, well, this is easy.
You did great. Like, it was my fault, though.
I'm actually, occasionally I'll run media during like our 8:30 volunteer service or whatever.
Yeah.
And Andrew and I will kind of run for each other's. We want our volunteers to be able to be in the service as much as possible. And the deal is, because we're speakers and because we run through each other's messages together and all those things, like, he's my favorite media guy. Like, he knows exactly where I'm going.
He
knows the worst thing in the world for a speaker is I just said the cue, it's in the notes, please put the slide up, and I know it's not behind me. So I'm like, it's almost like you call for it again. Like I said, Peter denied, you know, and like... It's one of my favorite points, Johnny.
Wait a minute. He what?
And you can see somebody in the sound booth, like on their phone or whatever. Yeah. You're like, oh, man, you know. And so the deal is, I really enjoy it. So for me, you get to run media for you. It's like, oh, I got this, you know. And I literally was like, why is this not firing? Yeah. I cannot find a reason. That's, and it wasn't on my computer. You had muted it on the channel.
Well, I have less media in my show than I ever have. Like, I'm getting ready to do these tour dates, and... It'll be like an hour, 20 minutes that I'll do, 80, 90 minutes show.
Yeah.
And hardly any of it has, and part of it is like, you're so dependent on somebody else to run your stuff. And like, if you get to a venue where like, they don't know you, you can explain it. And then they get involved in the show, they forget.
Yeah.
Like, when I say this word, you hit this, and they just forget. Now the joke is ruined. So I think I just weaned myself off of some of that stuff, but I tell you what, man. But remember, the nightmare is not just that. Like, I remember when we were in the band together, you had the headset mic, because, you know, that was those days. And remember the nightmare that you had, that you went, you were like, we were talking trash backstage about some other person we were working with.
Yeah.
So you were kind of caught. You were kind of caught with whatever, your proverbial witness down.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, those guys.
Man.
And,
like,
everybody out there, thousands of people in your dream, of course, because we weren't
that
playing
wasn't
for
real.
We were playing for 30 youth group kids, like we probably were.
Yeah. The mic issue, because I do occasionally speak with a lapel.
Yeah.
I hate lapels. I hate them. Like, there's no dynamics to them. They're down. If you don't know a lapel,
they're down
mic.
Way under your name. You have a goatee, so it's like,
Andrew,
you hit it under a bushel.
Andrew wants them, and I don't want them, but I've surrendered for now until we get a countryman or whatever. But like, he hates countrymen. I don't know why. He doesn't like, it's something from his past. I don't know. And I just can't stand him, but I use him. I'd rather be hands free with a lapel than otherwise. But there is that, but I don't want the sound man muting me.
Right.
I want to unmute myself.
Really?
Otherwise,
why would you mute for?
Like,
oh, like when you're walking
when I'm
stage,
ready to walk
up,
the worst thing in the world is I've unmuted and they haven't done it in the back yet. And I'm now talking.
Oh.
Now I've gotten my first
That's
5 seconds.
Interesting little preference,
the first 5 seconds is a fail already between me and the media guy.
Yeah,
you know, or me and the sound guy, and that's a bad. You know, I just want to start talking. You know, I got to capture them early. Supposedly is what they say.
Did I tell you I did the club show that I did in Huntsville? So I don't normally do clubs, especially for a whole weekend. But I did a club weekend with Nate Bergazzi and Brian Bates, because they both had they were doing these shows, and Nate's working at his new whatever, because his Netflix was getting ready to come out. So he's working at his new 45.
Right.
So I found out about it, and Lucy, who runs Zany's, the booker at Zany's, she's like, you don't want to host in Huntsville. Because, I mean, hosting's kind of like, I don't want to say I'm past it, but I wouldn't normally go host in Huntsville. Because you got to do announcements in between your jokes, like, hey, if you're
half price cheese sticks.
Exactly. If you're driving a Chevy Volt, you've left your lights on. Anyway, so I was like, let's do it. Because I thought I'd get to work with Nate and Brian. It'd be a fun weekend. And they had like a little house that the comics stay in. So I was like, oh, this will be fun. So we go down and do it. And I walk out the second show. It was like a Saturday night show. It's like, duh, 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 and they play the music, and then Johnny W. And I walk out, and there is a mic cord dangled over the stand. No microphone is attached to it.
Wow.
And I'm talking about, this is a crew of people at this club that were borderline irritating how on the ball they were. They were back in the green room every 5 minutes asking Nate if he needed anything, if we needed anything, any more food. Now, guys, here's how it's going to start. You're going to do 10 and Brian's going to do 25. Every night they'd come back and reiterate it to me. These are the announcements. Make sure you touch base. This is how they can find us on Twitter. It was so over the top. I was like, I think we can do it. I walk out. There's no mic in. That's the number one thing. I need one thing from you.
Well, I've never heard of that. Did they?
I just walked out and I held the cord above my head. And I was like, well, this is new. And you know, I just kind of shouted it to the people. And then that got a laugh because, I mean, you have to kind of establish control immediately because you just look like an idiot. Like, why would he not have a microphone? And then the guy comes running from the sound booth. He's so embarrassed, you know.
Wow.
And he apologized profusely. He's like, I don't know, dude. I took it apart to, you know, to clean. You know, something and then whatever.
The sound guys are my best friends, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they're amazing. And he's so funny because I'm back there sometimes.
Yeah.
And like, again, your show, when it goes wrong, all heads swivel.
Oh, right. They look around.
And I hate that for them and for me because the bottom line is I know something's wrong too. I don't know what it is. and usually it may not be anything we can control. So Easter Sunday.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
This is our Super Bowl, John. Go ahead.
Easter Sunday,
yeah.
We practiced. We had an extra practice Wednesday night. It's Easter, you know, everybody for music. So we were splitting the message again that day. I was doing a talk on the cross for about 15 minutes, and Andrew's doing a talk on the resurrection. And we had songs in between everything. We had readings. I did some prayer from the Book of Common Prayer. We had, you know, everything involved, and it was ready to go.
Right.
We show up. I get there early that morning. And we're in practice, everything is going fine, and all of a sudden, the board just shuts down.
Oh, no.
And, like, you know our board. It is a high-tech, digital, multi-level,
it's
like...
It's Skynet.
Yeah, like, it's like, oh, my gosh, you know, no problem. You may have a problem if you have a power, if we get struck by lightning or something like that, you know. Like, gone, and then it comes back on. Mm-hmm. Down, back on, down, back on, and, like... We're just like, oh, my gosh, what's happening? So Dane's there. He's playing on the stage, but he's kind of our technical guy on site. We go back, reset things. It won't stop doing it.
Oh, boy.
Like, we play for 20 minutes, and then it does it again. And we realize, so this is that weird moment. Like, we're heading into Easter Sunday, and it's happening. We're going to do an 8:30 service here in 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. And we either have to... like scrap everything, go to acoustic, you know, and figure out how to make that happen.
Right.
You know, find a backup, or we have to live with the fact that there's a good chance in the middle of the most important Sunday of the year.
Yeah.
And we had videos galore. Like we had a video between everything. Like it's a day we'd really prepped well, you know, right. And you're like, and it was crazy. So you know what we did?
What?
You'll love this. The guys went downstairs and retrieved the old Scarlet Thread board.
Oh, wow.
And we brought it up, and he had it ready to move over two singing mics, acoustic piano, and two speakers, and a video channel. So we had like eight channels ready. And he was like, he had prepped it and labeled them. And so we actually, it's very rare, we're just more honest with our people now. I got up 5 minutes before Easter Sunday started and said, hey guys, I want to tell you, we got an amazing board, you know, soundboard. I don't know what's wrong with it today. It's very strange.
Then you take up an offering.
Never happened. But right now, I'm looking for that $2,000 partner. And we just said, there's a chance it's going to go down. And if it does, it's going to take us about 2-3 minutes. We ask for your patience, and we have a backup plan, and we're going to do something a little more amended and acoustic. Right. We can keep our videos and stuff.
Two or three minutes is not enough time to get to another church anyway.
Right,
and be at that
right.
Easter.
If you want your Easter eggs, you're going to stay. And so we just told them, and we had it ready, and then it worked the whole time. I think it was a firmware issue we found out of some sort.
I figured you would like scramble and make it like spiritual, like...
I thought about how
Easter unplugged.
I thought about how stupid it
when he
feels.
Came out of the tomb. He didn't need a microphone.
Isn't that
they
right?
spread the word far and wide. Hallelujah! you just make it it's a teaching point now.
I felt like I really did because you know I can sermonize things.
Yeah,
and I thought, well, it really is true that we do not need a microphone. We do not need a video. We do not need none of those things. And we had that conversation in the podcast last week. We need none of those things for this day to be like an amazing day.
Yeah.
You know, but we didn't plan that. Like, you know, at the end of the day, we would rather be honest. Like, hey, we actually planned some great things that we want you to be able to participate in the good news of what we're going to share today through these things.
Yeah.
And now, the last second, they've changed. So, for me, it would be a little disingenuous to turn around and say, guys, we just decided today that we were just going to, we don't need all this, although we're going to have it every other week, but this one, you know, like, so we just kind of chose to, we prayed, we really did. Like, and it's not because we couldn't do without it, it's because it's a distraction. And this is a, like, we don't want any distractions today. We're really excited about what we're going to do, what we're going to say.
Speaking of distractions, John, I heard that you were wearing the Easter Bunny outfit.
Not during service, although that was a thing.
Okay.
So we had planned, so the preschoolers and toddlers have their Easter egg hunt right after church.
Yeah.
And so we decided in staff meeting that Andrew and I would go be the Easter bunnies. Like, that'd be a fun thing. The two guys who'd spoken that morning to go, you know, to go do that. And so we had an, we have a thing at the end called the button that we do. So like whatever we've done for the day, we come back and it's like 45 seconds.
Right. Like a wrap up.
Yeah.
Thing.
It's like a, hey,
put a bow on it.
Hey, you know, it's remind you of this. It's not an announcement at all, but like, hey, you know, if you want to talk to somebody, here's our elders and deacons, you know, don't forget that we give as you leave today. Cause we don't take up an offering right now during the service, you know, or, you know, we have people at the back or we have places at the back and, you know, whatever the thing is, we're going to have community on Wednesday. If you want to come, you know, see this person kind of thing. And so we decided that morning, look, you know, during this last song, we were going to do a song at the end. Andrew, you slip out and go put on your bunny costume and come out for the button. When I started, we had a video in the button. This kicked off a new series is happening. And then while the video is playing, I'll go dress and we'll basically end the service of both of us in Easter bunny costumes without any children in there to ruin, you know, the surprise kind of thing. And the
children
adults are like
ruin
that.
Everything, don't they?
But we just decided. I mean, you start, let the kid.
I know.
I mean,
John,
to ruin the surprise
fine.
For
right.
the children,
I'm
not
just
for us.
Being serious. So. Go ahead.
And so what we decided, so much could go wrong that day with the soundboard that we just, you know what, let's not add one more thing where you and I are literally in the back putting on Easter bunny costumes with 3 minutes to get
do
to
the
stage. Do
y'all still have the dino outfits?
Well, we do.
The dinosaur, stuffed dinosaurs. So I've worn those.
Uh-huh.
We talked about our videos when Andrew was on, Pastor Andrew, but the dino outfit, we had to shoot me from, because there's a video we shot where Curry and I are wearing the dino outfits. We're shooting submachine guns at a golf cart being driven by George Washington.
Or Thomas Jefferson.
Or Thomas Jefferson, whichever colonial person we had decided for that particular video. And I can't remember why we had him doing that. It was like a stream of consciousness thing we were doing, like a dream sequence.
Well, it came out then to Peter Miller sitting with a group of toddlers.
Oh, that's right.
Opening a book.
And that's how George Washington defeated the dinosaurs.
How he saved us from the dinosaurs or whatever,
Anyway, so
and then someone changed the channel, so we're like three levels
in. Oh, it's
a
channel thing. It was like a robot chicken kind of a thing.
Yeah.
So I remember that we had to shoot me from like the knees up because I was so tall that you could see like human calf in between the feet of the dinosaur and the leg of the dinosaur. So you guys fit nicely probably into your Easter bunny outfits.
I had pants out
you
the bottom,
pants?
But I think that it was hot. It wasn't a hot day, but boy, that was hot. So boy, let me tell you, it's hot.
Boy, I tell you what, right,
I tell you right now.
Now,
it was steamy.
So tell me this, back to the church thing. So I read this story, just skimmed it. I don't know the details, but Relevant magazine did a story about a church that was the big mega church, and every year they spend umpteen thousand dollars on their Easter service.
Yeah.
And this year they decided instead of doing that, they would pay off medical debt for people
That's
in their
awesome.
Community. And they paid off $2.2 million of medical debt.
Is that how much they normally put in
I
Easter?
Don't know. I didn't know that part. But I know it's a big church. I don't know exactly what big church it was, but I thought, that's really interesting.
I think it's unbelievable.
It's a cool idea.
Yeah. We've talked to our people, like when we talk about giving now, we made it several adjustments. One, I mean, in our membership covenant, we changed the word tithing.
Uh-huh.
We believe tithing is a good biblical principle. We don't believe it's a New Testament commandment, simply because Jesus did say to the Pharisees, you should tithe, you know,
right.
But again, he's talking to Jewish Pharisees and he's talking really about the fact that they're robbing widows as they do the technicalities of legalism. And so like, you can't just pull out that one thing and say, well, Jesus said tithe, you know, like that's the only time it's really mentioned. Really the principles of generosity in the New Testament, tithing would probably be more like a minimum or be like a starting point. Certainly not a place to cage, you know, making decisions. And Paul did say, hey, when you give not out of obligation, but cheerfully unto the Lord as each one purposes in his heart, is what mm-hmm. it says. And so in Philippians 4, I believe. And so that idea of, hey, and then also seeing, to your point and to the thing you brought up, we're really wanting to be more mindful of the needs of the community. It's like, okay, let's live lives together. And as we give, so yes, we need you to give in the offering. That's a part of the community. But this week, that shouldn't be like the essence of all that you do. Like, that's, right. like what's going on with people around you? And you know, the real model has always been, we call that model benevolence, you know, that there is a need and it kind of funnels through the bureaucracy of the church staff.
Yeah.
And so we find out what all the needs are, you give, and then we distribute accordingly. And there's a time for that. We still do that. Mm-hmm. But if you're like living life with somebody and they have a financial need that they haven't shared with you, right. then Johnny, let's talk about that.
You can just meet it directly.
Right. Yeah. But often they're not sharing it out of shame.
Yeah.
Which means that there's some level of community not being lived together there that we haven't broached. And so what we're saying is, hey, you know, I should be living honestly with people to the point that there's no, there's an expectation that, you know, you and I talk a lot about our money. I mean, yeah. we do. You know the good and the bad. You do. And I know the good and bad on your side.
Yeah.
I don't want to have real relationships where, hey, you know, I don't share those kinds of things. I have an area that's off limits. And what we're saying is, hey, we're not talking to the public, but in the community, within people you live with, there should be those things should be evident. So to that end, we talk now, if we give a giving spiel on a Sunday, a lot about, hey, we appreciate your generosity today, and it is necessary for what we do in American church. You know, that being said, also, you know, what are the needs of the people you're living life with today? Mm-hmm. Who are you looking around the building today? We're a small enough church. You look around the building and say, you know, hey, it's Christmas time, and I know there's a single mom.
Right.
You know, like don't just wait for us. What did the church do? That's always the thing. Well, is the church going to help them? It's like, I don't know. Are we?
Right.
You know, like that. Yeah, it's, yeah. You hate to. I'm not using semantics and being pithy and cute about it, but it's really the case. Like, hey, go and meet a need, and there may be a good time out of wisdom to run that through. The church, in terms of, you know, not just distributing cash all over the sanctuary or whatever, or it may be a case where you want to remain.
You put them in a booth and then let them see what they can catch.
Everybody, the fans, you turn the fan on, right.
That's what the drum case is for now. Wouldn't that be great? That needs to go on the show.
Oh, my gosh.
Because so many churches have those encased drum cages now with lids on top.
And we have one that's empty in the corner because we moved to the
You really could
stage.
Use it for a money
We
thing.
Really could right now.
Guys, let's do... Come Benevolence on. Tonight, what we're going to call this next section. It's got like a theme song. Oh, my gosh. It'd be great.
Oh, my gosh.
Whatever they can catch.
You know, there's one church that did a, and this is something we think about, that, hey, guys, we're going to, passing the plate is a lesser, is a practice that is losing.
Well, because I give online. So
right, everybody gives online.
Yeah.
Over 60% of ours are online.
Yeah.
And so it's one of those things like, you know, we don't pass a plate as much. We'd have a plate at the back.
I think those people that give online regularly, like as a regular deduction, should be given a T-shirt from the church that said, I gave online. You can just wear it.
Right.
So you don't get judged.
Right. And there are people that worry about whether or not, and it's like, hey.
I think I put that in one of our videos that you should be able to. Didn't I say there should be a sticker that we could hand out and it would just be like a frog with like a bubble quote above him?
And
the quote says, debit, debit.
Debit, debit.
That's so dumb. Anyway, no, but yeah, it is a weird thing and it is going away, like the pass the plate, because it's like some people do give other ways.
Right, same reason that we're giving online for everything else. Yeah. So it's hard, but there was a church I thought was a cool thing, like, hey, they have, when all their community, like their membership was together, not necessarily be everybody, but hey, your membership's together tonight, we're going to pass a plate, and some of you will want to give some, and some of you want to take some.
Yeah.
It's just okay. Like, if you need something out of the plate tonight, take it. And there was just like a sense of community and ownership to say, you know, hey, it's fine. And so someone could abuse it and empty the plate, you know, like, you know, but what you're saying is don't. And there's that, I think that really speaks to the heart of legalism. You know, like, well, we can't let people. And Christ came and says, I'm going to free you from, and this is hard. I free you from sin, and I also free you from the law. And we really, really struggle with that in American culture. I read it to the church Sunday, like, that Jesus having abolished, basically what he says is Jesus abolished the control of the law over you. And there's a real key there to the wording. Jesus did not abolish the law.
The curse of the law.
Right. Well, and they didn't say it said abolish the law contained in ordinances, meaning that there's going to be a list of rules by which you measure your righteousness. Mm-hmm. It's that measurement that Jesus abolished. He did not abolish that the rules had righteousness or that they're good, because Paul goes on to say the laws in themselves are good and righteous. What he's saying is I'm abolishing your need for them to be your gateway to rightness with me.
Yeah.
And so, therefore, I'm creating a new, as it says in Hebrews, a new and living way. The way you're going to come to me now is through someone else's righteousness. And so, because of that, you're free both from sin, but you're also free from that fear of breaking the rule.
Yeah.
And so, I think still in faith circles, there's a lot of confusion there. A lot of confusion about saying, hey, you know, we're there are people who feel that we're under the Old Testament, or people that feel that we can isolate. Well, I'm under the Ten Commandments of the Old Testament, but not, you know, not. What about the other 600? Like, how do you pick and choose? And so we become people. That's how I think American church gets a lot to the areas it gets. Is
because we don't want to just be saved. We want to be more saved than the next guy.
Right. Because I chose that I'm going to pick out the tattoo law from the Old Testament.
Right.
Or I'm going to pick out the long hair, you know. And again, I understand there's some New Testament things in there that are cultural. But like if everybody lived at all, then you would have to literally live like the life of a Hasidic Jew. I mean, that's going to be what that law requires of anybody. So how do you pick and choose which ones? And so Jesus said, hey, when you're in me, you're under none of those. You're under the commandments of Christ, which are the law of love. And this life, as opposed to you're going to lay your life down for it. You're going to lose all things, but you're free, you know, from that. And so just that general idea of like giving to say, well, God's not requiring 10% of me. Although I think that's a really good principle, and I do. I'm a tither. I have no problem with it. I'm not dogging tithing.
Yeah. When I do events with New Missions, who are a child sponsorship organization in Haiti, they do build churches and schools there. When Tim Detellis, who's one of the founders there, he says when he takes pledge money, he's like, well, this is what it costs to take care of a child. But if you pledge any amount, you're going to get one of these, you know, he gives his book away, or I give something from my table away. We want just to start a dialogue with you about this child that you're helping. But it doesn't have to be a certain amount, because he says, I don't believe generosity is an amount, it's an attitude.
That's great.
So that's kind of, it's really taught me a lot, like being around him and learning those things. Like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. So to your point about, we were under this old law, but now it's like we're free to give more.
Exactly.
You know,
and free to not feel obligated to it.
Yeah.
And when obligation is removed, there is a freedom there, and it does cause your real heart to be revealed. But it also causes you, I mean, there are things I gave to over the years out of almost guilt, like, well, I can't ever dial that back. But even though I wasn't necessarily in alignment with some of the things, and to say, hey, it's okay. I get to decide this. I'm a steward of this, and everything in my hands is God's. I thought about this. The Bible says where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And how much of our heart is supposed to be God's? All of it.
Mm-hmm.
So how much of our treasure is supposed to be God's? All of it. Like if they're that heavily tied, then there's that sense of living my life as if this is all God's, and I'm sometimes he's going to be very specific with me about how to steward it. And sometimes he's going to let me steward it, you know, and he's okay with that, you know, like, so there's that feeling.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. I mean, it's like the story of when he said, hold the coins, let me see a coin whose face is on the coin. They say it's Caesar's and we'll render unto Caesar. What he was saying was not just
pay your taxes.
Pay the taxes. Right. He was saying, my mark is on you. Just like Caesar's mark is on this coin.
Yep.
So be mine by giving. This is part of what having my mark on you means.
Yeah, render to God what's his means it's all his.
Yeah.
And giving unto God, his generosity is greater than ours. And I love, by the way, I don't do a lot of Hebrew and Greek, you know, but one of my favorite Hebrew words, the word for heart, one of the words for heart is spelled L-E-B. I'm pronouncing it Leb. I don't know how you pronounce it in Hebrew.
Just
a guttural sound.
Yeah.
And it literally means, when you study it out, the whole heart.
Mm-hmm.
So like there is no translation of heart in the Hebrew except the whole heart.
Yeah.
There's no half-heartedness. You know, we talk about half-heartedness a lot of in our culture. Well, I kind of am just half-heartedly into that. But like to God, there's only one level of that. And not like that he requires that, like what he invites us into. And I'm okay saying that God commands and he's the creator of the universe and the judge and all those things. I just think his grace is a lot bigger than, think about it. The psalmist says his love is better than life. It's better than the very thing that we're all clinging to.
Yeah.
So whatever it is about life that I'm clinging to, God's love for me is bigger, greater, better than that. And when you begin to rest and trust in that, then you say, well, yeah, I mean, if you invite me, even if this costs my life, your love's better. You know, and there's this, if it costs me all my money, your love's better. And not in metaphorical senses. I'm not doing this poetically. Like literally eternity is better. Like literally life on this earth with you is better. So I think, yeah, I love that idea of the generosity being a reflection of the heart, but not just being to try to get people to give more,
right?
But to ask that question. I love what, you know, that his inscription being on us, in his image, we are the image. Jesus was the image of God and we're made in the image of God. And there's just so much there, Johnny. Johnny, I could go all day. I don't mind if I do. Would you turn?
This is because you only had 10 minutes at Easter, isn't it?
If you'll turn to Leviticus. I'll be quoting.
Anybody having shellfish today? You're going to hell! Not a lot of sermons out of.
Don't be so shellfish, everybody.
No,
sorry. That's what Mr. Preacher would do.
Mr. Bob. Dr. Bob.
Pastor Bob.
He's a demon.
Dr. Bob went to seminary.
He did.
I tell you, Johnny, I'm good at making up names. That's why I'm such a... Hey, I'm thinking about writing some fiction. I listened to a podcast the other day with like a really incredible fiction writer.
Great American Novel, bro.
Charles Martin. And he was talking about fiction writing, and so I have a couple fiction things, you know. But I would have to go rework them a little bit. But I don't know, I'm thinking about it. I don't know. You don't seem really enthusiastic. You don't really read the kind of books that I write,
John,
even if they were fiction.
No, John.
Like, I don't know what I could write that it would trigger you. You'd be like, oh man, I can't wait to dive into that.
John, I'm doing the podcast. What else do you want from me?
Oh, gosh, I'm giving all I got.
Leave me alone.
Johnny, the Leb thing was for you. I just want your whole heart.
You want my Leb. Oh, my God.
And listeners, we want your Leb, too.
Yes, leave us reviews and
we
subscribe.
We want you to laugh.
Tell a friend. Shout it.
Shout it from the room. We got a good review this week.
Did you?
Did you see it? You liked it.
Oh.
You liked it.
Oh, right.
Something about just being with friends around a table, minus the food. That was very nice.
That's what you want. There's no way for us to give you food digitally.
Right.
So he was right there.
Although, so when we go to Wisconsin, we are toying with the idea of taking one of the sessions and doing a live recording of Talk About That.
Would that be something?
With a live audience.
Dude, you have no idea how much editing we do. If you're listening to this, we chop these things up.
Oh, my goodness. Johnny drops so many curse words, you wouldn't believe it.
I let the expletives fly. I feel like God knows my heart.
He does.
No, I think a live is going to be fun. And we could have guests, maybe.
Yeah, we could have...
A live guest.
Yeah, well, we'll have...
Maybe whoever the other people are. Who else is going to be there?
Other peepers.
It was just us.
Is there
like a musical person doing worship, maybe?
You know what? They had their guys do worship. You want me and you to do worship, don't you?
Wouldn't that be something?
Wow, I'd have to teach you some
songs. The band's
going to
make it, John. You would have to teach me something. I'll be up there, Ancient of Days, and...
Blessing, and like the slow version.
More love, more power.
There's a new song out by a band called Sonic Flood. Maybe you heard of them. they really borrow a lot from...
Yeah. I remember that I Want to Know You More when it was such a hit.
Gosh.
And like at that time, I wasn't listening to anything but like CCM music probably. Yeah. And then I heard Third Eye Blind. I was like, this is really close.
Yeah.
Yeah. Semi-Charmed Life is like, oh, that's a semi-charmed theft. That's what that was. Sorry, Jeff Dio, if you're listening. God love you.
Dude, I do love Jeff Dio.
He's a good man, too.
He's a pioneer, man.
He's a professor at Central Bible College in Minnesota.
And dude, Sonic Flood did for the United States what Delirious did for the UK in terms of really bringing worship music into a genre, you know?
A genre.
We used to call ourselves genre, by the way. J-O-N-R-E.
Because
we're both John. Even though mine has an H, I just let that part
go. You let me have the...
Yeah, I dropped the H. It's silent anyway. So, but we don't want you to be silent, listener. We'd love for you to leave a review.
Five stars if you feel like it.
Yeah.
Don't be the person that goes and leaves reviews and is like, I'm here, but
I thought the guys would have been better.
More of a three.
They just would have. Why wouldn't you do that?
Like, don't hurt us.
Please, Hammer.
We've opened ourselves up. Thank you.
You know what? Actually, I will just say this. We had the highest listenership in March we'd ever had. Bam. And I think we're really far past that in April already.
We're killing it.
Time to go. So, guys, it's you guys. It's you guys who are doing it because we can't listen to ourselves.
No.
When we can, it'd be weird.
I wonder how many podcasts there are that are just like, it's just two dudes and they're going nowhere. It's just it's an abyss.
I don't know. I think we call that the first year of ours.
It's a vacuum. So. But you go back, we got 58 episodes now, bro. We've talked for 58 hours.
We could call that, you call that a catalog at this point.
Would you?
I don't know.
You could call it a catalog.
I just did.
I just think of the service merchandise or Sears Roebuck catalog when you go pick out what you want. But yeah, catalog.
Well, go listen to our catalog or order from our catalog. Wouldn't it be great? Some t-shirts or some nice parting gifts for you.
Tell a friend.
Yeah, tell a friend. And we'll always be excited to join you again next time on
Talk About That.
So anyway, we thank you guys for listening. As always, we'll see you next time on...
My Baby Boy.
'God kept calling my heart. I just knew he was my safe place.
I hope people don't walk away going, wow, you're really awesome. More than wow, Jesus is really interesting. And he's really awesome.
Everybody on this planet is dealing with some sort of what if.
How does that one courageous decision affect the whole world?
A ship in harbor is safe, but that's not what ships are built for.
If you were encouraged by what you just heard, please search Trevor Talks on your favorite podcast platform or lifeaudio.com.